This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Ooh, 4 minutes after 12 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Mystery Hour is upon us. Your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. The way it works is this. Someone rings in with a question. It could be you. And then someone else rings in with the answer. But it's a lot more exciting than that makes it sound. It's often very, very funny, sometimes even intentionally. It's almost always illuminating, or at least enlightening. And as the kids always say when they're trying to persuade me to let them do something that I don't... Well, they're a bit old now for that. But it's very educational, Dad. It's really educational. Oh, of course we should be able to... It's educational. That's it, really. The number remains the same throughout. And, there's a prize now. There didn't used to be a prize. That's the only change in recent years, because there is now, believe it or not, a Mystery Hour board game available in Amazon. In Amazon? On Amazon. And indeed in John Lewis now. John Lewis started stocking the Mystery Hour board game. What a time to be alive. And also available, of course, I think 5 pence cheaper than anywhere else. You can get it from mysteryhour.co.uk. We've even got a domain name. Terms and conditions can be found at lbc.co.uk. And my favourite contribution of the week will win a Mystery Hour board game. A quick word of apology to previous winners who haven't yet received their Mystery Hour board game. We've had some technical difficulties. We haven't. I sent the email to the wrong address. So if you, I think you should have received, I've got at least two who that I haven't sent out, but they will be sent out today or tomorrow, I promise. And if you win today, it will be sent out today or tomorrow. So whoever gives the, no, it really will. Whoever gives the best contribution wins a Mystery Hour board game. And of course, if you don't win, you can buy one. Should we crack on? I think we just crack on, shall we? It's 6 after 12. It's quite nice to get calls on early. 12:06 is the time. Samuel's in Bexhill. Samuel, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on.
So when you flip a coin, they say heads or tails. One side is clearly a head, so why is the other side called tails when it isn't a tail?
Oh, I think we've had that before. I think we have. Although
don't
I can't... No, maybe we haven't, actually. Someone will know the answer to... Tails, heads... Well, I mean, it's the opposite of heads. I don't know if it's going to have a meaning. It's just the opposite of heads. What else are you going to call it?
Yeah, I know, but like they call it. I thought they call it heads or tails because on the coin it's a head.
Yeah. So then what's not? You can't say head or not head, can you?
Well, no. Well, then wouldn't you just say heads or whatever it is on the other side of the coin?
Yeah, but that's a bit of a mouthful. What came first, heads or tails? The coin flipping exercise, or heads and tails being opposites of each other from head to tail?
Hmm.
So the opposite of a head is a tail. So it doesn't have to have a picture of... I don't know, is the short answer, and I'm certainly not going to be claiming a round of applause for these meanderings. But the answer is probably linked to the head versus tail rather than any pictogram or similar on the reverse of the coin. Probably. It was just the opposite of heads is tails. So what do you want, heads or the opposite, i.e. tails? Yeah? Yeah? No?
Yes.
Do you see?
I think I'd rather have a professional answer.
No, it's me too, mate. Honestly, I wouldn't take that for all the tea in China. But I think that will probably turn out to be the answer. We shall see. There is only one way to find out. 0345 60 60 973 is the number you need. Why do we say tails? Where does the tails come from when you toss a coin and you say heads or tails? Liz is in Leeds. Liz, question or answer?
Question, please.
Liz, you keep talking. I'm just going to go. I'm going to slide over to the other side of the studio, get some paper. All right.
Okay.
So you just talk slowly. Get the, because I can see it's probably quite a short question. So I don't know. Maybe make it a bit longer. Be like me. Use 4,000 words where one would do. And just because I've just got to go get some paper. All right. You crack on, Liz. See you in a moment.
Okay. Our question is: we know that seas around the world have different levels of saltiness, but we don't know why.
It's all right, I'm back
so
now.
Why do seas have different levels of salt in them?
We like... Who's we?
Me and my daughters.
What are your daughters called?
Ella and Olivia.
Ella and Olivia. So we need to get answers for Ella and Olivia, and also for Liz. Why do seas have different levels of saltiness? Well, it's just going to be the contents of the ground that they're on, isn't it? Isn't it?
I don't know.
I do.
I'm not sure.
It must be. Because it's, all right, I'll put it on the board. Why do seas have different levels of saltiness? And what is tails in the context of heads or tails? If you can answer either of those questions, then get in touch. 0345 60 60 973. What was the name of the lad that asked the question about the heads or tails? Samuel in Bexhill, of course it was. This is why I need my newspaper. They're trying to do Google shared docs or something, and Keith's come up with all these technological... It's just pen and paper, mate. Pen and paper. It's never let me down. Julie's in Leicester. Julie, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
How do we know how dinosaurs sounded?
How do you know that we do?
Well, my son asked me the question.
Yeah.
So he's seen lots of dinosaur movies and things.
Right.
And he knows that we know how they looked because of fossils and skeletons, but he wants to know how we know...
I don't think we do know how they... I mean, there'll be some research that could have been done into their voice boxes, you know, and like an anatomical speculation on what they would have sounded like. But someone told me once that we can't know for sure that dinosaurs weren't bright purple. Because we've only ever found bones and fossils, so they could have been they could have been bright green with massive pink spots. They could have all looked like Mr. Blobby.
Yes, that was his point.
Yeah, well, he's a clever lad.
Might sound like a chicken.
Yeah, I think it might. I'd quite like that idea, although it would make Jurassic Park a lot less scary. I think his boy's a genius. I think. How old is he? Now you can say 38, James.
He's
10. I think you've got a genius on your hands, Julie.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I put the question on the board, but I think your lad might have already answered it, is that we don't know how dinosaurs sounded, and we've just sort of filmmakers and what have you have speculated, A, on what colour they would be, made them look like giant lizards, because it seems logical that they probably were like giant lizards, and B, what noises they made. I quite like the idea of Jeff Goldblum sitting in his car and the eyes appear in the rearview mirror and you hear, bark, 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 bark. We'll find out or we won't. What's your boy's name, Julie?
Charlie.
It's a brilliant question, Charlie, and you sound like a very, very, very clever young man. I'm sure you'll be growing out of this radio programme sometime very soon. Matt's in Ballard. Matt, question or answer?
It's a question, please, James.
Carry on.
It's posited by my 12-year-old son, Harry.
Yes.
Why do we say O in front of telephone numbers rather than 0 or 0 as a standard, really?
Oh, yeah, I mean... Is it going to have an answer?
Pretty obvious because of, you know, the shape or whatever, but
yeah.
The similarities. But
it's shorter as well. 0, 4, 5, you know, 0, 3, 4, 5. It sounds like a bit of a mouthful. 0, 3, 4, 5, 6, 0, 6, 0, 9, 7, 3. It's just speed, I think, isn't it? Just speed and ease.
We all say O, don't we?
Yeah.
I couldn't answer it, so I was wondering if... there was any sort of...
I'll put it on the board. It's also my catchphrase on Twitter, of course, O, which is my...
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I'm a big follower.
It's good. I'm glad to hear it. But I don't know that you're going to get a better answer than just it sounds easier. It's a form of shorthand.
No, I tend to think that might be the case, but I thought I'd better ask anyway.
No, I like it. It's on the board. We should do our best for Charlie. Is that too... No, what was your boy called?
Called Charlie.
And what was Julie's boy called? Were they both called Charlie?
No, he was a Harry. His was a Charlie. Mine was a Harry.
Yours is a Harry. Oh, I'm going to flip it out.
But I've also got a Charlie, just to confuse things.
Oh, I knew you had. I was getting them mixed up with each. I was getting Harry mixed up with Charlie there, Matt. It's all under control. Everybody relax. 12 minutes after 12 is the time. Sam's in York. Sam, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, Sam. So we've had two Charlies and two Sams now. No one else cares, do they? Sorry. Carry on, Sam.
No, it's like, why do bananas go brown when you keep them in the dark?
Do they? Don't they just go? They go brown when you keep them in the light as well.
Yeah, but they go down a lot quicker, don't they?
I don't know. I've never kept my. Why would I keep bananas in the dark, Sam?
Well, so I left them shopping in the boot the other day. I came back the next day. Everything was fine, but all my bananas had gone horrible.
And that's the basis of your question. There's one example of one shopping trip with one bag left in the boot, and you conclude that all bananas go brown in the dark faster than they do in the light.
Well, that's why it's on my mind right now. I've left a banana in a bag before. It goes brown.
Is it? I'm just going to consult my esteemed colleagues. Excuse me, Sam. I mean, I'm consulting my esteemed colleagues. Give me a moment, will you?
Very sorry.
Yeah. I'm not convinced. I'm going to put the question on the board, but I'm not sure that the premise of your question is valid. I don't know that you have sufficiently demonstrated that bananas do go brown in the dark.
Have you ever kept bananas in the fridge? Same principle. It's dark, they go brown.
It's not dark. There's a light in there.
Not if it's turned on. I'll look at the door shut.
Well, yeah, but they go brown when they're not in the dark.
Yeah, but a lot quicker in the
How
dark.
Do you know? You need to have two sets of shopping, one in the boot and one not in the boot, in order to conduct an experiment that allows you to arrive at this conclusion.
Tell you what, James, if I don't get an answer today, I will conduct an experiment.
All right, okay, do that. I'll put it on the board, fair enough. It's a control, isn't it? You'd have a control, you'd call it. Would be the banana not in the dark. Do bananas go dark in the dark? Do go brown and go dark in the dark? That works. Or not. And if they do, how come? 0345 6060973 is the number that you need. It's coming up to 12:15. So we've got the O question. Why did we say O in numbers instead of zero? What noises do dinosaurs... How do we know what noises dinosaurs made? Why are some seas saltier than other seas? And why do we say tails on heads or tails? We know where the heads comes from. Where does the tails come from? All of those questions and more in need of answers. And if you've got an answer, 0345 6060973 is the number that you need.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
17 minutes after 12 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where Mystery Hour continues. Remember, there is a prize of a Mystery Hour board game for the best contribution to the programme. I'd say the field was still pretty open, actually, at this stage in proceedings. Gary's in Braintree. Gary, question or answer?
Oh, hello, James. Hello. It's a question, please.
Carry on.
I was eating a bar of chocolate the other day and it had some of that popping candy in it.
Oh, was it one of those Willy Wonkas, was it?
I don't want to name any names, but it was a very nice bar of chocolate.
Why don't you want to name names?
It was a Cadbury's one with the bits in it.
It's the Willy Wonka one.
Okay, I thought other brands were available.
Don't worry about all that nonsense, seriously. Also, if you don't mention them, they don't send me free stuff.
Oh, well, that's true, I wouldn't mind a bit of that myself.
Get it out there, I'll see you, right? Don't you worry. Was it the Willy Wonka one or not? Is that Cadbury's, the one
It wasn't the Willy Wonka one.
It wasn't the Willy Wonka one. All right, be careful saying that on the radio, Gary, will you? I've got Ofcom on my back.
But what makes it pop, James? That is the question.
What makes it pop?
Popping candy pop, yeah.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 48.
Oh, so do you remember Space Dust? Not in the context of night clubbing, Gary. I want to make that absolutely clear. Do you remember you pour it into your mouth and your tongue would go nuts, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same sort of stuff.
Hits the saliva, hits some sort of fluid, it makes it pop. But what makes
it pop? We want to know what the chemistry is here.
Exactly.
You're on.
Exactly.
What a great question. I shall find out for you. What is that? Thank you, Gary. 18 minutes after 12 is the time. Rob's in Mason. Rob, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
And it's the one for the why is different seas different saltiness.
Oh, yes.
It's the temperature.
Is it?
So the hotter the water is, the more salt it holds.
How come?
So around the equator, the seas warm up, they hold more salt. It's cold.
Yeah.
And the way to test it is if you've got kids, because I know the lady phoned in had kids.
That's right.
You get two glasses, put a spoon of salt in each.
Yes.
Pour 100 ml of cold water in the one jar. And 100 ml of warm water in the other jar and watch what happens.
Well, I never. So the Dead Sea is the hottest sea.
The Dead Sea is not a sea, it's a lake.
Oh, all right. Clever talk. But that's why it's called the Dead Sea, because nothing can live in it.
Yeah, it's salty because the water evaporates off and then you get more salt left in it.
Oh, okay. So that doesn't work then. So you're right to point out that's not part
of it. And where there are anomalies, it's because cold water falls through warm water and the currents take it along the bottom. So you can have geography where it won't follow that rule.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that is definitive, that answer.
Yeah, I know. Right. And I'm not even a geologist.
Well, what are your qualifications?
I was at Monterey Aquarium and Oceanarium, and they were doing public talks on stuff to do with global warming.
Wow.
And one of the things about global warming is about the level of salinity and what that will do to different species of fish.
And there it is, temperature.
And there it is.
That's a beautiful answer, Rob. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Round of applause. You could easily have blagged a Ray Liotta then. You sounded so knowledgeable and confident. If I'd said to you, what are your qualifications? You could say, I'm head of oceanography at the Monterey Aquarium or something like that.
Well, actually, James, I've got an MSU.
You what?
I've got an MSU. I make stuff up.
You didn't make that up, though.
No, I didn't make that up.
Oh, God, me worried then. Thank you, Rob. Great stuff. 12:20 is the time. I've got a flipping MSU. Got a PhD in MSU. Anthony's in Boreham Wood. Anthony, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on, Anthony.
Bananas.
Isn't it?
It's got nothing to do with the dark.
I knew it, Anthony. I knew it. Go on. What?
I'm glad I can facilitate your joy.
Thank you.
It's basically all about the temperature. If he's left them in the car... bananas don't like the cold, and it sends them browner a lot quicker if they're in a really cold temperature. So you could leave them out in a really cold house,
yes,
and they would do the same thing. It's got nothing to do with light or dark. It's all to do with temperature.
And he mentioned the fridge as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which proves your point in a way. So, that's interesting, isn't it? So you've actually got, in his, because it was, I mean, I was a bit rude. It wasn't a stupid question, but it was causation and correlation territory, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was thinking basically that because it's gone dark in the dark, it must have gone dark because it's in the dark. But in fact, it's gone dark because it's in the cold.
And it's really cold at the minute
outside.
You're
telling me, mate.
And,
absolutely.
You know, I've spent, and this is my qualifications, if I may jump in so quickly.
Yes, please.
Is 15 years in the food service industry looking at multi-temperature vehicles. And the minute you put a banana near the chilled section or the frozen section, the length of the life of that banana is dramatically shortened.
Well, well, well. What a wonderful answer. Thank you very much, Anthony. A round of applause for you.
Hurrah.
Hurrah indeed. And indeed, huzzah. 22 minutes after 12 is the time. Jay is in Southend. Jay, question or answer?
It's a bit of a stupid inquiry,
mate. Oh, no. Already? We've only had two answers. It can't be the bananas, so it must be the salt.
It is indeed. Well, big fan, by the way, mate.
Ditto. What have you got there?
Basically, it's half right in the sense of evaporation. It will actually increase the salinity of water, but mostly it's down to the igneous rock of where that ocean is specifically. So certain rocks will emit more salt than others. But generally,
yeah, but the experiment still holds. And to be fair, you're picking a fight with the aquarium in Monterey here. So,
I've had 15 years' experience with my own self keeping marine fish and corals,
but so in a tank. Not in a sea.
No, not in the sea.
So it's
going to
be... Nah, come off it. It's not, because the seas are all joined. This is because I thought what you thought originally, and then I thought about it afterwards and thought I'd been a bit stupid, because the seas are huge, mate.
Yeah, it's huge.
Keith, write this down. The seas are huge, mate, all right? I'm going to keep that one for the... Yeah, with an H. Yes, carry on.
No, genuinely what you'll find that is... The oceans have a medium of salinity, so what it is 1.024 salinity.
Yeah, but by the time it's all mixed it up together, it's you're going to have all the rocks coming in from all over the place. The experiment with the two glasses of water, one hot, one cold, and which can hold the most salt, is the beginning and the end of this.
Yes, to a degree.
No, it is, but if you're talking about fish tanks, then you're the man. But if you're talking about the oceans... So your point is relevant perhaps to the Dead Sea, because it's a lake. So there, the igneousness, the salinity of the igneous rocks plus the evaporation is the reason why it's so salty. But it's not a sea, you see.
I see.
See? Give him a round of applause for being a top lad. There you go, Joe.
Cheers, Joe.
You're very welcome.
Big fan.
Thank you, mate. There you go. Oh, no. Daniel's in Cornwall. Question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on.
Well, we were chatting about the bananas.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that they're in an enclosed space.
Oh, no.
So enclosed spaces are normally dark.
Right, yeah.
And the thing which makes bananas go off is ethylene or ethene, it used to be called gas. Yeah?
Yeah.
So when they transport bananas over from South America, they'll actually pump in the gas in order to make them ripen at the correct time.
Right.
Yeah? So in an enclosed space, you will have the ethene gas ripening the bananas, which they give off as well.
But it was in, I mean, yeah, but it...
So it's nothing to do with the darkness.
No, I know it's nothing to do with the darkness.
With
it's more to do with the temperature than the darkness. It's the temperature.
Well, the temperature, see, is going to increase the reaction rate, because obviously rate increases with temperature in chemistry.
But not on this one. The colder it is, the darker they go.
No, if it's warm,
I
it
knew
will go
this question
dark
was going to
as long
cause
as it's
trouble.
Enclosed.
No, but they go dark in the fridge quicker than they do outside
it's
the
in
fridge.
Your fridge. You don't have it open, do
it
you?
Was in the boot of a car. That's not enclosed.
Well, yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
The
they're not airtight.
Not much airflow.
Oh, come off it. Well,
you
your qualifications.
Before I'm analytical chemist.
Yeah, I thought I'd better establish that before I embarrass myself too much. Well, all right, why then? Why do they go brown quicker in when it's cold then?
Or are you just going to deny that? You're going to do fake news?
I am just going to deny that.
Whoa,
they don't
this
cook
is just
quicker when they're cold.
This is blowing up one, isn't it? You can always spot them. Or I can anyway, the ones that are going to blow up. Why do bananas go dark in the dark?
Why would they pump ethane gas into the when they come over from Brazil, into the Holdens? It's to ripen them at the correct time because they pick them when they're unripe and green.
Yeah, but that I can see why that works in a hermetically sealed container on the way over from banana land, but I can't see it.
They don't just in a random cold place.
What were Anthony's qualifications?
I'm an analytical chemist.
No, I know you are. I'm just thinking about the last lad. Anthony was he'd been in food prep food for 15 years, and he's adamant that if you put bananas somewhere cold, they go dark quicker.
Well, I've learned about it in analytical chemistry.
Stop maybe saying the analytical reason. Chemist all the time. You can't just say it 10 times.
Apologies from the Welsh accent.
That's sorry. I love that. I didn't mean to do the Welsh accent. I just said it three times in two sentences. I wasn't doing that. It's a lovely accent you got there, Daniel. One of my all-time favourites across the whole of the United Kingdom. Did you hear my full disclosure with the First Minister the other day?
Unfortunately, I didn't.
Well, there's still time to download it.
I'll have a look at it.
I have you ever done any analytical chemistry on bananas?
No, I haven't. I haven't done. I have to be honest. I haven't done any analytical chemistry on bananas.
Well, then
I'm on my lunch break at the moment. Well,
The day is young. I don't know. Could someone else make a decision?
Well, maybe we'll get a banana expert.
What I need is a professor of bananarology. Yeah, and then we'll be... I'm going to give you a round of applause. This is a right old Bananarama. Thank you, Daniel. I just don't know. I mean, honestly, I've got a right... So I've got three names now next to the bananas question. I didn't like it from the start, did I, Keith? I could tell that one was going to cause trouble. 28 minutes after 12, David's in Birchington. David, question or answer?
It's an answer, James, about the telephone 0 and O.
Good. Take it away.
Right. Very old-fashioned telephones, dials.
Yes.
Okay. Areas of London.
Yes.
Perhaps you remember Whitehall 1212.
I'm only 50.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
Whitehall 1211.
111.
You would use... It would be known... Whitehall 1212 would be WHI as the area code.
Yeah.
So you would dial, you stick your finger in a hole associated with W...
Yeah.
A and I.
Yeah.
I used to phone a friend in Croydon.
Right.
The code for which was CRO.
Yes.
Now, the Americans took this to an absolute extreme. They used to say, if you want to phone somebody because you've broken your leg,
right,
phone busted, 12758. Now, you might remember 12758.
Right.
But it is, you know, if you had a string of numbers associated with busted, you'd never remember.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, okay. I do. You lost me for a bit, but you mean that 12578 would refer to the letters on the holes on the dial?
No, busted would refer to the letters.
Yeah, I know. So it would be B. So then why do we say O for zero then?
Because the exchanges in London, and I can only give you the example of Croydon, was CRO.
Yeah, but isn't an O? O is... part of
the letter.
Yeah.
Not CR0.
No, but Croydon's not CR0YD0N, it's CROYDON. So why do we say O for the zero when we say zero through... Look, when I'm on the radio and I say the number is 03456060973, why don't I say zero? That's got nothing to do with Croydon.
It's laziness of saying...
I agree. Yeah.
Not saying zero, saying O.
Yeah, it's just a shorthand. It's quicker, it's smoother. It's not laziness, it's efficiency. It's verbal efficiency.
Yeah, and it was throughout the exchange. So it came from London.
Why do you keep saying this? I think you've got your wires crossed on this one, if you pardon the pun.
Because that's the copper wire that goes through the exchange.
We've done that one before. CRO makes perfect sense because it was an O. It wasn't a zero. Oh.
No.
O.
O, because... O does not correspond with zero on the dial.
No, no one said it did.
No.
O?
It was just far easier to say CRO 1234.
CRO, but it was an O.
It was an O for Croydon.
Yeah, and it wasn't a zero. So why would anyone have said zero for an O? You should have just come in. Qualifications, remind me of your qualifications.
Oh, I'm a...
retired telephone engineer.
I mean, I just heard it a long time ago when I was a young man. I'm 77. I'll give up now.
I'll give you a round of applause. But it's, I'm not going to lie to you, David. It's an act of charity.
Oh, that begins at home.
It certainly does. 12:31 is the time. Oh, I have no idea what's going on. Amelia Cox, luckily, is here with your headlines.
Vodafone is committed to connecting thousands of Ukrainian refugees with data, calls and texts through our Everyone.Connected programme. Everyone needs connection. For the people of Ukraine, it matters now the most. If you're a charity working with Ukrainian refugees, search Everyone.Connected to request preloaded SIMs with data, calls and texts. Vodafone. Together we can.
UK registered charity. 6 months SIM with 20 gigabytes of data per month. Unlimited calls and texts for use in UK only.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
I suppose O is short for zero, in a way. Zero O. Anyway, Daniel's in Hoddesdon. Question or answer?
I've got a question, please, James.
Carry on, mate.
This one's about airspace.
Oh,
right. Yeah. Who owns the airspace above any land or property you might own? I'll give you a scenario. So you've got a treehouse in your
back
garden.
Like a scenario, yes.
Right, and your mate, Bob, lives four doors down, and he's also got a treehouse.
Yeah.
And you want to run a zip line from one to the other, but it goes across a couple of your neighbours' back gardens.
Yeah.
Well, they own the land, but what's the crack with the airspace? Is it theirs, or are you okay to just get on with it?
I presume, and I'm not going to take an answer for this, but I presume that you own it up to a certain height, but you don't own it above that. Otherwise, aeroplanes wouldn't be allowed to fly over it without permission, would they? But you can't be doing a zip wire through your neighbour's garden.
Well, can you or can't you?
Well, if you go high enough, perhaps you can, but that would be hazardous.
Well, yeah, you might fall.
Well, right, exactly, but, what goes
up? But no, I thought, I know who to ask that.
And yeah, well, you know who you can ask to ask it. I'm not going to be able to. Have you got plans? I mean, is this an actual scenario that is on the horizon, or is it just a theoretical scenario?
I live on the seventh floor of a block of flats.
Well, don't. Stop it now. Stop it now, Daniel. Seriously, mate. That way madness lies. It'll all end in tears.
Yeah.
It's all fun and games.
If you get me an answer, I'll be very grateful.
I'll do my best for you. How much of the airspace do you own above your own property? 0345 6060973. Because we've done it going downwards, I think. I always think of Fred Dibner. He had a sort of coal mine in his back garden. But we need to do it going upwards as well. Also, what causes the popping of popping candy? Don't go near the bananas. How do we know, or do we know, how dinosaurs sounded? And why do we have tails as the opposite of heads when there aren't any tails on the coin? Glenn's in Aylesbury. Glenn, question or answer?
Answer, please, James.
Carry on, Glenn.
It's the chocolate bar, the popping candy. The product was originally called Marvellous Creations, launched by Cadbury.
Yes. Was it nothing to do with Willy Wonka? Was it just meant to look a bit like Willy Wonka?
Willy Wonka is owned by Nestle Roundtrees.
And they have popping candy in as well, don't they?
They did, yes. They did like a fizzy popping candy many years ago.
Okay, no, I've just got my fizzy chocolates mixed up. And is it the same stuff as Space Dust from when I was a kid?
Yes, it's the same basic ingredients, sugar, glucose,
I can say you know what you're talking about, and we're about to go definitive. Take it away, Glenn.
Great. So when you make popping candy, you heat up sugar, glucose and a few other ingredients and you bubble carbon dioxide through it.
Right.
So when you put it into your mouth, what happens is your saliva starts to melt the crystal releases the carbon dioxide, and it also cracks the crystal, which is why you get that fizzing, popping sensation on your tongue.
It's pretty perfect. So you make it, it's almost like you make it fizzy just before it goes hard.
Yes, so you bubble the carbon dioxide into it, and then gets trapped in the sugar crystals.
And they're tiny, are they? So each sugar crystal...
They're tiny, yeah.
And when it dries out... So is it a liquid when you bubble the carbon dioxide through it?
Yeah, you have to bubble it at, like, 600 degrees or something ridiculous.
And then when it dries, how come it's not all in one massive lump? Or maybe it is.
Well, you basically grind it up into the size you want. So you can grind it up into either dust for space dust or grind it up into larger crystals to drop into chocolate.
Exactly. And the crystals are small enough to, even as it's ground up, the carbon dioxide is trapping within, even when it's dust, it's tiny, tiny, tiny little bubbles.
In there.
and it gets wet, and as the carbon dioxide emerges very quickly from a small hole caused by your saliva dissolving the sugar, it then cracks the rest of the crystal, which makes the delightful sensation on your tongue.
Yeah, it gives that tingling sensation.
Oh, man alive. That's a beautiful answer, Glenn.
Thank you.
Qualifications?
I'm a food scientist, and I worked on the launch of Marvellous Creations when I worked at Cadbury's.
Yeah.
So I was there when they made it originally.
Yeah, mate, you're over the line.
I'm Ray Liotta, and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC.
You worked on it, man.
If you build it.
Thank you so much. I've been listening to you for years, so thank you ever so much.
Glenn, thank you ever so much. And also for Gary, who asked the question, because it was that specific bar. Because I threw him off the scent a bit by talking about Willy Wonka. He was too polite to say so, but they're two distinct products, and you worked on the Cadbury's one. Down in Birmingham, was it?
I was based in Uxbridge, but obviously the Cadbury's factory was at Bourneville at that time.
Yeah, but the laboratory was in Uxbridge, was it?
Well, we used to flick between the two. The only drawback of working there was I put on about 2 stone.
Oh, yeah, I could imagine.
During my time there.
I can well imagine. What are you working on now, if you don't mind me asking?
I work in the tech industry now, so I've completely gone away from food, but still very passionate about the food industry, so I do miss it.
Why did space dust go out of fashion? Do you know?
I don't know, to be honest. Maybe it needs to be revived.
I think
James.
It could be a little market. We could do Mystery Hour Space Dust. We could give it away with the board game, with the booster pack. Glenn, what a lovely business. Thank you. Absolutely. I mean, that could well be. I think Glenn's nudged into the lead. Does everybody else think so? I just thought that was such a perfect answer, and he worked on the actual chocolate. I think anyone could have come up with that. It's like working for Gillette, isn't it? And you're sitting around the board table. And the boss, has anyone got any new ideas? And you go, boss, I have. Why don't we add an extra razor blade to the razor we've already got? You could have just said, working at Cadbury's, do you remember space dust from when we were kids? Why don't we put space dust in a chocolate bar? Lo and behold, you've got... Oh, Charlotte's in Barnet. Charlotte, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
It's about fingerprints.
Is it?
We were watching a film, my husband and I, last night, and you needed fingerprint recognition to get into his phone.
Oh yeah,
one of the spies in the film.
What film was it?
Oh, it was called. It was like a spoof thing with Mila Kunis. It was called something like "The Spy Who Dumped Me."
Oh yeah, is it any good?
Not really.
No, all right, carry on. Sorry, I just.
My query was. Yes. Somebody might have asked this before. Because it made me think of myself. I have eczema, and my fingers, you know, obviously. Often have cuts in it, or you know, and I wondered if damaged skin on your fingerprints would compromise your fingerprints being recognised.
Not something as small, if you like, as a cut.
I mean,
you can use. I think they use acid sometimes to burn off fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't. No, eczema wouldn't. If that answers your question, eczema wouldn't affect your fingerprint because it's
just curious. Because
yeah. Well, I'm not going to give myself a round of applause on this because but someone listening will know. There might be something that does sufficient damage to your thumb so that your fingerprint would no longer be recognisable, but it's not going to be something that's naturally occurring.
No, okay. I just thought of it because in this film...
What have you got planned, Charlotte? What are you thinking of doing?
No, nothing. It was just funny. It was a pretty awful film and they ended up cutting off his thumb.
Yeah.
To take it elsewhere to sort of get, you know,
that's quite, I think
information.
That's quite, there's
stuff.
An awful bit in one of the brilliant Harlan Coben things on the on Netflix where there's a, I don't think this is a spoiler. Is this a spoiler alert? No, it's not. There's a body in the freezer and they need to access the phone so they have to warm up the hand a bit first before.
Yeah.
They can. Anyway, by the by, I'll get you an answer to that. Can eczema have any impact on your fingerprint in terms of identification? I would not have thought so, but I need someone who knows what they're talking about to answer that definitively. Thank you, Charlotte. Daniel's airspace question. How much of the airspace above your property do you own? We've done the candy popping question. The bananas question, I think, has been satisfactorily answered. I lean more towards Anthony's than Daniel's, but Daniel was an analytical chemist or a chemical analyst. I forget which way around it was, so it may be that he was right. David kind of got, I think the OO question is just the what we originally thought. If you're doing a number, I'm on the radio, what am I going to say? 0345 6060973 or 0345 just comes out quicker. The noises that dinosaur makes. Young Charlie is only 10. It's a brilliant question. How do we know? Do we know? If we don't know, or, no, if we do know, how do we know? But if we don't know, Tell me that we don't know. And how do you know that we don't know? And tails. Why do we say heads or tails? What, where do the tails come from on the tails question? 12:43 is the time. Ali is in Mitcham. Ali, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
How are you? You all right?
Yeah, mustn't grumble. You?
Good, good. Yes, I'm good. I'm good. Excellent. So I've visited a few like palaces, like Hampton Court Palace. I've also been to Shakespeare's house as well.
Yeah.
And we've noticed that all the beds back then were really short, like shorter than normal size nowadays. Now, I know it's not because people were shorter back then, so I just wondered
how do you know? How do you know that?
Because someone mentioned that were people actually shorter back then, they said no. I mean,
well, they were though. Have you? You've been to state. You've seen suits of armor. Have you seen suits of armor? Are tiny.
I genuinely don't think that's the reason. I think there must
have been
another reason.
But people were shorter. You've seen that. What about doors on old houses?
Still not good enough, James. I feel like someone. I feel like there must be another reason
you
why.
You can't start by saying that you visit stately homes and then rule out armour as part of the. I mean, armour, suits of armour, the Black Prince's suit of armour. It looks like Jimmy Crunkey could have worn it.
But I don't know. I feel like there must be a better. Answer.
A better answer.
If you're right, then give yourself a round of applause.
Okay, I give myself a round of applause whenever I want. You've got to do better than that, Ellie. All right. Do you ever watch Tiny Houses on the telly? One of my daughters is addicted to it.
They
make tiny, tiny houses. It's a sort of a weird thing, super space efficient. And so tiny beds is what we're asking. Why did they have tiny beds in the olden days? Yeah?
Yes, all right, that's
I'll see
right.
what
Thank
I can
you.
Do.
I appreciate that.
It's because they're short. It's because people were shorter. It's 12:45.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
Gosh, 12:48 is the time. Alex is in Homeforth in West Yorkshire. Alex, question or answer?
I have an answer, James.
Carry on.
An answer to the question about if you could fly a zipline between...
I've got to try and sort your phone line out, Alex. Sorry about that. It's nobody's fault, but something just went wrong between moving from the lobby into the lounge. Noah is in Leeds. Noah, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on, Noah.
Dinosaur sounds.
Fantastic.
So, it's generally quite difficult to tell what sounds a dinosaur may have made because the soft tissue of the mouth and the throat and so on generally doesn't get preserved. It doesn't get fossilized.
Mm.
However, there is an exception.
Go on.
And that is the dinosaur called the Parasaurolophus, which was a herbivorous dinosaur. It had quite a long horn coming out of the back of its head. It looked a bit like the xenomorph from the Alien film.
Oh, yeah.
And that has been preserved. That does get fossilized. And we've found that inside that horn, there are sort of hollows which acted as acoustic chambers, almost like sort of little amplifiers.
Wow.
And by modeling those acoustic chambers, it's been found, or it's been speculated, I suppose, that the Parasaurolophus could have made sort of a trumpeting sound, sort of an elephantine kind of sound.
Oh, gosh.
Exactly.
And is that literally the only one that we've got an inkling of? The rest? So Charlie's 10. I don't know if you heard the original question.
I certainly did.
Could the Tyrannosaurus Rex have clucked like a chicken, theoretically?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned chickens, actually, because you know birds are the closest living relative that we have to dinosaurs. So by looking at the bone structure of similar living creatures, like modern reptiles and modern birds, there are inferences can be made, but the Parasaurolophus we're sort of a bit more sure about.
Well, that's a qualifications.
I have the pleasure of being the Professor of Public Understanding of Science at the... I'm just kidding.
Go on, seriously. you silly sausage. Go on.
Many visits to the Natural History Museum in London.
Just love dinosaurs?
Yeah, pretty much.
That'll do. Round of applause for Noah. I suppose there's a bit of nominative determinism going on here, isn't there? With your fascination with the animal kingdom.
Well, two by two.
Yeah. Not that you've heard any references to that before, but I love that. Thank you. Kevin's in Beckton. Kevin, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on, Kevin.
Heads or tails?
Tails.
It comes from the Romans.
Does it?
It does. It does. back in the day, when they used to make their coins, they always had on one side the head of whoever was in charge, whatever.
Yeah, Emperor Caesar, was. Caesar, innit, usually.
Or whatever, yeah, one yeah, of them. Yeah. And on the other side, they used to have a dragon with a great big long tail that used to go all the way around the coin.
Really?
Yeah. So when they flipped it to make a decision, it was heads or tails.
Qualifications?
Well, I haven't got any qualifications, but I was told this.
No, that's your qualification. That is your qualification, is it? Who told you it?
Well, when I was playing football for my school, and I was captain of my school football team back in the 60s,
yeah.
All the referees in those days used to be school teachers.
Yeah.
And when I went up for the toss of a coin at the start of a game,
right,
this referee happened to be a history teacher.
Oh.
And when we tossed the coin, he explained to us and told us what it was all about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not buying it. Oh, this is awful, because it's a sort of cherished childhood memory, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah.
Were you, I mean, I think he just yanked your chain to get to so he could get on with the game, Kevin.
No,
there's no way that they had dragons on the back of coins in Rome. I mean, what would it even be in Latin, heads or tails?
Well, I don't know, but someone's translated it, haven't they?
No, that's not it.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
I'll have a bet with you.
I'll have a bet with you.
Go on,
I'll bet you a Roman coin.
I'll bet you. I'll tell you what, with heads or tails, we'll toss for it now.
I'm not tossing for it now. It's just mystery. You've got to go definitive. I'm not. I don't think that's right. I really don't.
Go on. I'll tell you what. I'm going to Google it now.
Yeah,
and see
okay.
if it's true.
All right. Well, ring me back. You've only got 7 minutes.
No, right. I won't be able to do it by then.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll come back to it next week. I've already Googled it, and it's not true.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
You're cheating, then.
I haven't Googled it, but I know it's not true. There's
you're
too
cheating.
Many...
You said you said people are not Googling, and you're sitting there Googling.
I'm not Googling it. I'm pulling your leg, just like that teacher was when he told you it was a Roman coin tradition going back to dragon.
He was the best teacher I ever had.
Yeah, well, I'm good at teaching it. Well, when was the Battle of Hastings, then?
What, 1066?
Oh, I thought I was going to say 1065. That would have proved he was. That would have proved he was pulling your leg.
And when did we win the World Cup? 1966.
Yeah, easy to remember. 900 years later. No, not having it. But if it is true, I will eat a fat slice of humble pie and apologise to you profusely. But that's not the answer. The answer is simply that it's the opposite of heads. But I don't know how we can go definitive on that. Richard is in Consett in County Durham. Richard, question or answer?
Answer, please, James.
Carry on, Richard.
Right, to do with the guys who wants to zip wire over to his mate's house over the air.
Yes, yeah? Yes.
So basically, no, we could get him on that. He'd be trespassing.
Oh, going over his neighbour's bits, he would.
Yeah, in the air. So basically, it's all to do with trespass, and it's all to do with the question he was on about ownership.
How high up can you go? Because the aeroplanes fly over my garden and I can't, they're not trespassing. How high up can you go?
Basically, there's called a lower stratum, which is, and an upper stratum.
Right.
The upper stratum is generally where we would hope that the airplanes are flying.
Yeah, but give me the numbers. Give me the numbers, Richard.
There isn't any. That will vary because it will be down to the Civil Aviation Authority and what they've applied in those areas.
But roughly speaking, how high up in my own garden can I claim protection over or ownership of?
Oh, gosh. Well, are you on the Heathrow flight path?
I am, actually, yeah. Kind of give or
take.
Right,
well, cool, because I know Hounslow from old, and then you'd think...
Yeah, I'm in Hounslow. I'm in Hounslow.
Well, there you go. I did some work on some tower blocks in Hounslow.
Yeah.
So basically, that plane could be coming in just at the top of the tower block, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Only a few hundred foot. So as they come into land, that level could be
lower.
1,000 foot.
Right.
Yep. But in my part of the world, Consett, County Durham, we're on the flight path, or nigh on, but by that stage, because it's about 15 miles out of Newcastle Airport, that plane... could be up at about 20,000 foot.
So it does genuinely vary. So the original answer really was, from Daniel, was about whether or not he'd be able to do a zip wire, to which the answer is a resounding no. But the broader question of how high up does it go depends partly on where you are, and it's determined by the Civil Aviation Authority.
Exactly. And the answer I said to your researcher was that basically, in terms of wildlife, this is quite interesting.
No, I'm going to run out of time. I need your qualifications.
I'm a chartered builder.
That'll do. I'm going to give you a round of applause. I'm going to crack on. We'll talk about the wildlife next time. Nadia Zinkefili. Nadia, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
So it's in relation to the bed question, why the beds are shorter.
Yep.
In stately homes. It's to do with their immense paranoia of death.
So they slept sitting up, didn't they?
Yeah.
I teased the questioner and it was me that was wrong. Oh, I hate it when this happens.
So they make theirs shorter so that they could not accidentally slip and lie down. And then they would appear awake so that when death floated past the window, he would just sail on his merry way rather than...
That's a lovely answer. Qualifications?
Just a visitor be at home nearby.
And one of the guides explained that they had much shorter beds in the olden days because people slept sitting up.
Yeah.
Oh, round of applause. No, beautifully done. My apologies to Ali for teasing him and treating him like a mug when it was me that was the mug. Stuart's in Banbury. Stuart, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on.
So in regards to the eczema question, altering the fingerprint.
Yes.
I've had eczema my entire life, and back in the day when we had fingerprint tech on phones to unlock, I would have to have multiple fingerprints depending on the severity of my eczema on my fingers.
Wow.
And I couldn't unlock the phone. Thank goodness
right?
for passcodes. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I waited for an expert because I was pontificating on that one and making almost as big a fool of myself as I did with Ali. So, I mean, it's a shame you're qualified, really, isn't it? Because it can't be much fun
for you. Yeah, okay. It's okay. I only get it on my hands now and then nowadays. Luckily, it's face recognition now, so that works.
Have you downloaded the new update so that you can do it with your mask on?
I have, but I haven't set it up yet. I keep forgetting. I wonder if that'll work with sunglasses.
I think they do work with sunglasses, the facial recognition. I think it did.
I tried it before and it didn't. But
not sunglasses and probably not sunglasses and a mask. But
yeah, it wouldn't have much to scan, just your cheeks.
Exactly, or your little nose. Anyway, have a round of applause on me.
Thank you.
Very nicely done. Charlotte will be intrigued by that answer. And Chris is in Southend with probably the last contribution. Question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
The heads or tails question.
Yes, quickly.
I can only remember, I'm about your age, James.
Right. Spring chicken.
Probably when I was about 10, the old 10p used to have a lion on the other side.
No, but the heads or tails was around in the 19th century. It's not going to be about the old 10p.
Well, I can't speak for how it was before then, but it could well have had a lion on it then.
Yeah, but it could have done, but you're not going to get a round of applause for could have, are you?
Well, that's what I remember. I can literally.
I remember it as well, but it's not. So you just think heads or tails came into existence in 1982?
Did it?
No, it didn't.
No. I can't believe that no one else thought that.
No, but they didn't. I can't believe you got on. Heads are going to roll or tails, and that is the only one I think that didn't get an answer in the end. I think I'm going to have to give it to Glenn, aren't I? The prize this week, the Mystery Hour board game, for his superb answer about popping can. I attempted to give it to Gary for asking the question in the first place, but just at the final hurdle, Glenn clears it in style. So let's get Glenn's details and make sure we actually send it to him this week, because I've been a little bit remiss. I know it's my fault. I'm not blaming anybody else. That's it for me for another day. We'll do it all again tomorrow morning from 10. Time now for Sheila Ferguson.
I think Mr. Heads or Tails is onto something. It might not be the first time it ever happened, but it makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, no.
Oh.
Because the opposite of a head. There's a tail.
Well, not if there's a person
from
on the
head
front
to
of the
tail.
Coin.
From head to tail. It might, no, I'd not have it. Because
person
would you
on the front of the coin, lion or some other creature.
Why don't you say heads or lion then?
Well, it's because it's the head of the person, the tail of the animal. I'm standing by him.
Right, you're getting a board game. You might get your board game for Christmas if you carry on like this.